sing.
Good morning, it's Mike Mullins, the host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show. Good morning, how are you today? I hope you're well. It's nice to get all this nice rain. I don't know about you, but I took the time on Thursday to mow the lawn, anticipating that we'd be getting a little rain, and boy, by Friday afternoon, I was very happy that I had anticipated that. I hope you will have a sunnier afternoon for whatever your gardening needs are today. You know, this is a show about investing. And it's called the Socially Responsible Investing Show. And the reason it's called that is because I look at good investment opportunities in emerging markets, emerging sectors and industries, but also look at strong companies because if you're investing for income from dividend-paying stocks, for example, the last thing you want is for your investment to blow up on you. And we've had that happen a few times. We don't like surprises, do we? So we like to look for good companies that are practicing good environmental, social, and governance issues, are part of how they think about providing a good dividend, a strong, safe dividend for their investors. And we look at all of these things through a socially responsible investing lens. We want to make people that listen to this show have the opportunity to become better investors by making better choices. We like to help people think about aligning their values with their money so that they can improve their world one ethical, responsible choice at a time. We also, from time to time, have the opportunity to do a little educating on the show here about topics that maybe you don't think about in your normal daily life, and today is one of those opportunities. Title of the show today is, What Freshwater Crisis? The View from the Mississippi River. You know, there was a time back in January where I posted an article on a site, and I got a number of comments back, three or four dozen comments. People got into conversations, and one of the comments I got stood apart from all the rest. The person's comment was, you know, this whole freshwater crisis is made up by you left-wing crazies. All you want to do is find things that are wrong to complain about and raise issues. Look, we're in Minnesota. We don't have a freshwater crisis. We have 10,000 lakes. We have the Great Lakes in the region. We've got the Mississippi River, the St. Croix, the Minnesota. Lots and lots of water. There's no problem here. Well, that stuck with me. And so the title of the show today is, What Freshwater Crisis? Here in Minnesota, it seems a faraway issue. There's no question about it. We like to boat. We like to swim. We like to fish. It's part of the nature of living in a Minnesota community. But you know, it's also a great week to talk about water issues. You may have noticed that the city of Nashville was inundated, deluged, whatever water word you want to use here, and it overwhelmed their municipal water system. The people couldn't use the water. It has a lot to say about the power of nature, no question about it, but it also has a lot to say about what happens in an urban environment when the natural places that rainwater go and floodwater go, which is into the ground and into natural waterways that take their time, get accelerated because we've got all these hard surfaces. I want to talk about that a little bit today. Of course, we've got the problem in the Gulf with oil and salt water, but it really just shows, points up the intrinsic connection between our daily lives for those folks down there, how they make the living, how they live, and the quality of the water situation that they have. The conversation we're going to have today, shortly here, is with Whitney Clark, who is the executive director of the Friends of the Mississippi River. And I want to welcome Whitney to the show. How are you, Whitney?
I'm well, thank you. Good morning, Mike.
Thank you. Say, I wanted to ask you, the Friends of the Mississippi River is one of a number of nonprofits that work to serve, really, the broader community here. I pulled up this morning a website that showed that there were at least three dozen organizations, municipal as well as private, that are working to help maintain, clean up watersheds all over the area here. How is the Friends of the Mississippi River involved in that kind of effort?
Well, good question. FMR, Friends of the Mississippi River, is a place-based nonprofit organization. So we're different from government agencies or watershed districts. Our mission is to engage citizens to protect, restore, and enhance the Mississippi River and its watershed. And our focus area is really the Twin Cities region, although we work on statewide policy issues as well. So, you know, we work across several issue areas to be proactive about doing whatever it takes to restore the health and vitality of the Mississippi River. We've got three key program areas, conserving and restoring open space and natural areas along the river and its tributaries, helping neighborhoods and cities turn back to the river and embrace the river as a public treasure that it really is, but I think we sort of forgot that for many years. And we do that by trying to protect public access, scenic views, try to establish parks and trails and historic and cultural sites. And then our third big program area is the clean water area that we're going to talk about more today. Friends of the Mississippi River works to educate citizens to bring pressure to bear on public policy, whether that's in their neighborhood or their city or the state level or even at the federal level, to bring about clean water for the watershed and for the Mississippi.
What would you say is the single biggest problem that we have with water quality here?
Well, you know, there's a range of issues that get kind of technical, but just to try to simplify it a little bit, I would say that water quality in the river has been improving for a number of years due to really the Clean Water Act, which first passed in 1972, and that did a really good job of addressing certain types of pollution. So that I think most people, first thing they think about when they think about water pollution is industrial pollution, pollution that comes from a pipe, from a plant of some kind, mm-hmm. for industrial sources. The Clean Water Act has really made some great strides in regulating that. And so that's less of a problem. I wouldn't say it's not a problem anymore. There still are industrial sources of water pollution that we need to do more about. But the big problem is the ubiquitous problem of runoff.
Mm-hmm.
Runoff from city streets and urban areas. And the biggest source of pollution to the Mississippi is runoff from agricultural land uses.
So you're involved, the FMR's Friends of the Mississippi River is involved kind of upstream from the cities?
As well as
the cities?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the whole thing in when you're doing watershed work on rivers is you always have to be thinking about upstream.
Mm-hmm.
But our focus is the Twin Cities area. One thing to remember, of course, is in Minnesota, we're kind of at the top of the watershed. We're in the upper part of the Mississippi, so there are a lot of people downstream from us who depend on, you know, on the river. About 20 million Americans, including everybody who lives in Minneapolis and St. Paul, get their drinking water from the Mississippi River.
Right.
So it's an important issue, and, you know, it relates to health and safety, and it's something we've ignored for too long, I'm afraid.
What is the quality of the drinking water in the Mississippi River currently?
Well, of course, you can't drink the water right out of the Mississippi River.
Why not?
Well,
I mean, other than you don't want to get fish in your teeth, what else?
Well, the biggest issue with you know, going down to the river and scooping your cup into the water would be bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, something you don't want to ingest. And luckily we have made some good investments, especially here in the Twin Cities, in drinking water filtration plants. So we have these big plants. They're on or near the river. Minneapolis is right on the river in Fridley, just upstream from Minneapolis, and they have industrial processes there that do a good job of taking those bacteria out, so the water that comes out of our taps is safe to drink. Nevertheless, the more that we put pollutants into the river, the harder and more costly it is to get those pollutants out.
So, you know, I'm familiar with the urban runoff issue with the storm drain system we have right now, and that we'll talk about more of that a little bit later. That picks up all kinds of junk and oil and grease and pollutants of all kinds off of sidewalks and driveways and parking lots and all that kind of stuff. But the bigger picture we've talked about a little bit has to do with the agricultural runoff.
Right.
So how do you get involved in addressing that?
Well, you know, that's a huge issue, and it goes to, really this big industrial agricultural production system that we have worldwide. I mean, this is a worldwide problem, and water quality is only one of the problems that we have as a result of the way we conduct agriculture in America. But right here in Minnesota, we have, a poster child for sort of the worst of the agricultural water quality problems, and that's the Minnesota River. That basin, which drains, most of western Minnesota, is about 82% row crop agriculture. And we are seeing just enormous loads of nutrients and sediment from agricultural land uses, cropping the land, mm-hmm. Coming down the Minnesota River and joining the Mississippi. Some people have seen, there's a very, very descriptive photograph from the air of the Mississippi and Minnesota rivers joining right there at Fort Snelling. And you can just see the turbid or cloudy water coming down the Minnesota River and joining the relatively cleaner, clearer water in the Mississippi.
Yeah. Well, we're going to come back in the second segment here and continue to talk, Whitney. I want to encourage people to call in with questions for Whitney. It's 952-946-6205. Don't be shy. We want to talk about water quality with you. 952-946-6205. You're listening to the Socially Responsible Investing Show. We'll be right back.
There's no need to completely remodel the tile in your kitchen, patio, bathroom, or any room. Let Dick the Grout Doctor help you renew your existing tile grout to its natural beauty. The Grout Doctor can seal your grout or recolor it to better match your tile or natural stone. Let the professionals do the dirty work so you don't have to. We re-grout, clean, repair, seal, or recolor any tile grout. Contact Dick at 651-261-3626. That's 651-261-3626.
Common Good Books has been a closely guarded St. Paul secret for years, but book lovers from all over are discovering that Garrison Keillor's bookstore is, well, above average. Conveniently tucked away in the lower level of the Blair Arcade on the corner of Western and Selby in St. Paul, and online at commongoodbooks.com. Common Good Books features an excellent selection of hand-picked books, from classic American literature to the best political reads. And remember, live local, read large.
This is Bob McHale from Out of the Box Radio. It's been a challenging time for a lot of people. Where do you turn? What resource people do you contact when you're not sure how to get your bills paid? When there's not enough money to go around? When you cannot make ends meet? Join us on Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. for Out of the Box Radio.
The Dakota tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Midwakanton Sioux community in Prior Lake, Minnesota, with charitable giving of more than $132 million over the last 11 years. In 2008, 15 Native American tribes each received $1 million grants from the Shakopee Midwakanton Sioux community. Among the recipients were two Minnesotan Chippewa tribes, the Boys Fort Band of Chippewa and the Grand Portage Band of Chippewa. The Boys Fort Band of Chippewa was awarded a $1 million grant for economic development near their Vermilion Lake Reservation. And the Grand Portage Band of Chippewa received a $1 million grant to fund a Head Start daycare facility, which will open in early summer 2009. This funding will allow many more children the opportunity to participate in these valuable early childhood opportunities. The tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Midwakanton Sioux community. For more information, go to ShakopeeDakota.org.
Socially responsible investing is supported by Calvert Investments, mutual funds, college savings and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Online at calvert.com.
More than music, the Electric Fetus is the place to find thousands of great gifts, including unique clothing, hats, jewelry, bath products, and kids' toys, plus books. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
Back to the Socially Responsible Investing Show. Our guest today is Whitney Clark, the Executive Director of Friends of the Mississippi River. The call-in number is 952-946-6205. We'd love to hear from you. Whitney will be glad to answer any questions. He knows way more than I do about this stuff. Whitney, you mentioned early on that one of the things that Friends of the Mississippi River is doing is working to restore some watershed areas. Could you tell me more about that?
Yeah, there's a couple of different ways that we work on that. You know, one way is to make sure that existing natural areas and open space along the river continue to be protected and managed for their ecological functions. So that's an important piece that we do. Another thing that we do is try to work with cities and communities along the river and in the watershed to help them think about ways that they can develop in a watershed-friendly way. Maybe we should define watershed first.
Yes, please.
A watershed is simply the area of land that drains to whatever given body of water you're talking about. So it's really important to recognize that the health of our water is really determined by how we use the land that drains to that water.
So the land acts as a filter, does it not?
It does, yes. Before we alter it for development or for agriculture, the land really is a big sponge. It soaks up rainfall and snow melt, and it purifies it as it goes through the root systems of plants and through the soil and into the aquifers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the natural hydrology, we say, mm-hmm. of a watershed.
So if you're developing or if you're trying to restore areas of, let's say meadows, woodlands, pasture land kind of things. I shouldn't say pasture land, but that's you know what I mean, these wide open spaces.
Yes.
Having those wide open spaces be between the river and, let's say, farming communities that are farther back from the river. All the stuff that gets put into the soil in the farming process goes someplace, because in the water table underneath the earth, obviously, the water seeps through and eventually finds its way to, you know, by gravity to a lower area, typically a river, right? Or
yeah.
A lake or a pond or something.
That's right.
And so the usefulness of having that open space isn't just to look pretty, although that's nice, but it's functionally... What it does is it acts as a filter, so a lot of the chemicals that come off of a farmland, even though those chemicals are a lot more tightly controlled now than they ever used to be as far as toxics that can harm people, that's a great place where they can get kind of stuck, as it were, in that land before the water actually reaches the river.
That's right. Yeah, we call those filter strips. They're also known as vegetated buffers, and it's actually state law in Minnesota that agricultural land that is in row crop agriculture needs to have a 50-foot filter strip between the crops and a water of the state, a stream or a lake or a river. And that's a really good rule, a really good law that's been in place for many years. Only problem is it's not well enforced. And so we have, by a recent Minnesota State Agency estimate, somewhere between 300,000 and 1 million acres of streams and rivers that should have filter strips that do not, where the farmers have plowed the field right up to the edge of the stream.
Right. So when we see, I'm just going to take a shot here, a Lake Minnetonka, where there's shoreline development, or let's say Cedar Lake would be another one, where there seems to be nothing but houses right up to the water. This is not good for the water quality.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, and this is something that, you know, we try to do education on, and the Department of Natural Resources has some good educational and technical assistance resources available on this. But, you know, ideally, homeowners who live on water would install these filter strips, for a lawn or, mm-hmm. you know, a private yard. It doesn't need to be a 50-foot strip.
No,
it could be it could be a 5-foot or a 10-foot strip of vegetation that's planted along the shore to help filter out the runoff from the lawn.
That's even helpful there.
Yeah.
Well, in the time we have remaining here, could you tell me, what else do you want me to hear about the Friends of the Mississippi River? And I'd like for you to give your website addresses.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'd love to tell you about some of the other things that we do. I'll give you the website if people are interested in learning more about the work that we do or becoming involved. We'd love to. Always looking for new members. The website is very simple. It's www.fmr, as in Friends of the Mississippi River, .org, fmr.org. And one of the things I wanted to tell you about is a really fun and exceptional event that we have been organizing for 7 years now. It's called the Mississippi River Challenge. And it's a one- or two-day paddling event for people of all kinds. It's a great family event. We paddle for 44 miles over 2 days on the Mississippi through the Twin Cities. We stay overnight at the confluence of the Minnesota and Mississippi Rivers at Fort Snelling. We stay inside the fort.
Oh, we don't have to bring a tent or anything?
Yeah, you can. You bring a tent and you pitch it right inside the fort.
Okay. Okay.
And that's a fundraiser for Friends of the Mississippi River. For more information about that, you can go to www.mississippiriverchallenge.org.
Very good. Okay, I've got that information here, and I will have that available for anyone that wants to call in or send me an email and ask me for that contact information. I will be able to get that to you, you know, as well. So the last question here I think I have for you, Whitney, is in terms of how you are funded. You're a nonprofit?
That's right. We're a nonprofit, and we're blessed with a diverse set of funding sources. We've got about 1,500 individual members. We receive foundation grants. We have, as I said, this Mississippi River Challenge event, which raises funds for the work we do. And we also receive support from corporate foundations. One notable one is the RBC Blue Water grant mm-hmm. that we received this past year.
Right. I was at that event. Just to remind listeners, I am a financial consultant with RBC Wealth Management in Minneapolis, and RBC stands for Royal Bank of Canada. That is the parent that bought Dane Rauscher back about 10 years ago. So we're RBC Wealth Management today. Royal Bank of Canada pledged $50 million Canadian dollars in 2007 to be granted over a 10-year period to institutions and nonprofits and agencies that would help to create and maintain and restore fresh water sources, let's just put it like that. And that was $75,000. And how has that money been used?
Well, we've used that in a number of ways. The money has obviously come at a very important time for us, just as the economic downturn was taking hold. There's a lot of nonprofits struggling right now and trying mm-hmm. to do more with less. So we have been just blessed to have the support come at that time. We've used the dollars in a couple of different ways. One has been in our citizen stewardship projects, where we're engaging thousands of Minnesotans in on-the-ground volunteer stewardship activities, such as tree plantings along the river, trash cleanups, removing invasive species like buckthorn, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other area has been this clean water focus area that we've been talking about, where we engage citizens and help them get involved in advocating on local, state, and federal policy related to keeping our waters clean.
I certainly have appreciated having you on the show today. Whitney Clark, the Executive Director of the Friends of the Mississippi River. You can find them online. You can Google Friends of the Mississippi River. I didn't really say Google, did I? Mike Mullins, the host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. David Stusi from the Big Brain Radio Show. Hey, if you haven't listened to the Big Brain Radio Show, the Big Brain Radio Show is about the magic of our mind, the magical mystery of our big brain, the mind that creates our life for us. You're going to find out stuff that works every time. How would you like to have your employees align their values with your values to increase their productivity and their loyalty? If you want to know how to have it be natural for production and service to show up in your life, listen to the Big Brain Radio Show every Saturday at 11 o'clock.
Three bedrooms, two baths, and look, it has a front door. Isn't that great? Really? That's boring. Buying a house is an experience and should be enlightening. As an eco-brokerage, Waters Realty offers buyers and sellers an understanding of energy efficiency's cost and savings. Because your home is a place of comfort and family interaction, and Waters Realty is committed to promoting healthier, cost-effective, and green practices to make sure you get the most out of your home living experience. Visit watersrealtymn.com to find out more.
Hi, Nancy Nelson here, inviting you to join me every Saturday, noon to 1 o'clock, for my show, Nancy Nelson Make a Difference. At my stores, Our Little Secret Designer Accessories at Wholesale Prices, we have an opportunity for you to make money without investing a thing. Have your own Our Little Secret Home Jewelry Party. The same amazing wholesale prices as in our stores, and at the end of the party, you have a percentage of everything sold. Go to our website, OurLittleSecret.tv, OurLittleSecret.tv, for details.
Janet Robert, owner of AM950, and the work that home customizers did in my home was spectacular. They were very professional, and I was especially impressed with the attention they paid to the detail in refinishing my woodwork. I recommend you call Home Customizers for any of your home remodeling needs at 651-690-5964. That's 651-690-5964. Or homecustomizers.com, a local company and Pella Window contractor serving the Twin Cities for over 30 years.
Take a look at your heating and cooling bills. They're huge, and they keep rising. But you could save up to 75% on your monthly bills when you have an Econ-R geothermal system installed by S&B Geothermal. Plus, geothermal is the greenest way to heat and cool your home by using the naturally warm in the winter and cool in the summer temperatures found below the Earth's surface. S&B is a Minnesota company with 28 years experience that uses only Econ-R geosystems built right here in Minnesota, specifically designed for Minnesota's extreme climates. Unlike the other guys' systems, with Econ-R, you don't need backup heat and cooling. So get rid of your AC and furnace forever. Now that those hot days and high AC bills are near, it's a perfect time to call S&B Geothermal today and qualify for the 30% tax credit. That's big savings. Call 763-434-5162. That's 763-434-5162. Or visit sbgeothermal.com.
AM950 weather for your Mother's Day weekend. Sunny today. Look for a high of 51. Cool and frosty tonight. Low of 33. Tomorrow, increasing clouds. A high of 58. Monday, 40% chance of showers. High around 57. Still time to get Mom a nice gift. Check out Electric Fetus, Mother Earth Gardens, National Camera, The Park Tavern, or Our Little Secret. Find out more at AM950radio.com.
Yeah, great tunes. Laura Caviani is who you're listening to. You can catch more of her music on her website, LauraCaviani.com. It's LauraCaviani, LauraCaviani.com. Good friend of ours. Love to have their music. Want to thank a couple of sponsors. Dunn Brothers by the library in Eden Prairie, right on Prairie Center Drive, across from the mall. You know, you should be able to figure out where it is from all that. Ken and Sharon are great friends and do a wonderful job. And, you know, when you're out thinking you want to meet somebody for coffee, or you're doing some networking, or you have a business meeting where you need to have a calm environment, that Dunn Brothers stands out, in my experience, amongst the coffee shops in the area as being one that's just the most conducive for that kind of calm conversation without a whole lot of noise from grinders and steamers and such. You can still hear those things, but acoustically, it's kind of suppressed. It's kind of nice. The other company I'd like to compliment here is Wizard Academy in Eden Prairie. Wizard Academy is a tutoring institution for math and English, and Claude Chenard is the owner and operator, and they do a wonderful job of helping people get ready for their ACTs. If you're thinking about that next month, you want to call Wizard Academy, W-H-I-Z-A-R-D, Academy in Eden Prairie. Whitney Clark is the executive director of the Friends of the Mississippi River, a nonprofit here in the Twin Cities that works with citizens to help us have the freshest, cleanest water possible. And with all the water we have around, you'd think that this wouldn't be an issue. But it's an issue in every area where there's farming, where there's industry, where there's a lot of concentration of people living. And so it's water availability has not been an issue in the Twin Cities, except briefly in a late 1980s drought. Now, Whitney, are you still there, Whitney?
I sure am.
Whitney and I have talked about this this show, obviously, ahead of time. And he sent me a wonderful, huge, thick piece called Infrastructure 2010, Investment Imperative, co-sponsored by the Urban Land Institute and Ernst & Young. And there was some couple paragraphs here that I want to share with you that I think are very, very interesting, Whitney, and tell me what you think. This is quoting, water availability has not been an issue in the Twin Cities, except briefly in a late 1980s drought, which, boy, do I remember that. Anybody remember that? Lake Minnetonka was so low that you couldn't get your boat out of the Crystal Bay Channel. But contamination and pollution can raise concerns, even when you've got plenty of water. Minneapolis takes all its water out of the Mississippi River, and St. Paul supplements river water with sources from deep wells. Locals, meanwhile, consume at rates well below the national average, so Minneapolis, congratulations. But the Big Muddy could be cleaner. Farm runoff and industrial pollution contaminate the river to below drinking standards. Water supplies are being cleansed through sand filtration systems and a new $60 million ultrafiltration plant to ensure what comes out of taps meets federal water quality requirements. That's the plant you're talking about up by Fridley?
That's right.
Okay. Going on, the Metropolitan Planning Council is addressing the need to upgrade wastewater treatment with a 10-year, $1.4 billion initiative and programs to encourage higher density development. Attention focuses on controlling stormwater and limiting impacts from non-point source pollution. Whitney, what is non-point source pollution?
It's a fancy two-bit word for runoff.
Okay. In the outer suburbs, naturally occurring radium and agricultural contaminants seep into wells and aquifers, requiring careful monitoring. Now, we were just talking a few minutes ago about the importance of having green spaces to absorb water, to filter water, to slow down the flow of water. Why is the speed of water flow an issue?
Well, you know, it's both the speed or the rate and the volume of water that cause problems. When you change the way that water lands on a piece of property and runs off, you basically are pushing if you think of a parking lot, for instance, mm-hmm. all that water that normally would have landed on a field of grass and dirt, maybe trees, and slowly filtered through, could take much of that water might not ever get to the local stream or river. It would be taken up in the root systems of plants mm-hmm. and evaporated through the leaves of the plants. It would, what's not taken up by the roots would move very slowly through the soil and into the aquifers and then make their way into the water table. When you put an impervious surface, we call it, like pavement or rooftops on a piece of land, all that water just runs right off, and that's the way we design these things and have for many years, into a pipe, and then that runs directly to the local water body. And the problem with that is then all that water is all of a sudden in this little stream that wasn't used to having that much water in it, and that causes flooding. And obviously flooding is bad for lots of reasons, lots of negative economic consequences, but it's also really bad from an ecological standpoint.
Well, I've got another concern here I was thinking about. You know, here in Eden Prairie, we have, in a lot of places, we have these freeway clover leaves, and in the last number of years, we see that they create sort of a holding pond, sort of in the elbow of the curve, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is that the holding pond is where what we call end-of-the-pipe water that drains from the city roads and hard surfaces eventually ends up there.
Yeah.
Now, here's the concern I have. We know that there's so many contaminants sitting on asphalt and concrete that comes from cars and all kinds of motor industrial type things. And a lot of those heavy metals and oils and greases run into the storm drains during a storm. Now, the storm drains end up dumping in to these holding ponds. The holding ponds now have those metals. Now, because those holding ponds are not flowing, the heavy metals and those kinds of toxic kinds of things tend to sink to the bottom, and eventually they have the potential of getting into our local water table, so that when our wells here in the city are pumping water up for us to use into the water purification systems, the water municipal resources, it takes a lot more effort to clean that water. Is that correct?
Yeah, so that's right.
Leaching from these holding tanks, I think, is a major issue. It makes me wonder what the quality of the water is any place where we've got all these hard surfaces, these impervious surfaces that run off. Now, I know that there's an effort going on called low-impact development.
Yeah.
What can you tell me about that?
Well, low-impact development is really a new way of thinking about and managing urban runoff. And the whole idea is to basically to mimic the natural system that was there before you developed it, before you developed a site. So, especially for new sites, new developments, but there are practices that are being developed for, you know, redevelopment in urban settings that have been developed for some time. But the basic idea is to infiltrate the water, which means to just basically let the water run, you know, into the soil instead of putting it into a pipe and pushing it off to the edge of the site.
Sort of the word filter is in there then.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, think of what would normally happen on that site, and that's what you want to recreate. So if you're building a strip mall development or a housing development, if that piece of land infiltrates or sort of processes, allows to soak in 2 inches of rainfall in a 2-inch storm before the development goes in, we'd like to put in practices that allow us to infiltrate that same amount of water after the development has gone in. And you can do that by grading and finding places where you can use the soil and vegetation's natural ability to filter water to your advantage.
So there's two parts to this, as I'm thinking about. One has to do with city regulations. Now, you've mentioned Blue Star to me. What is that?
Yeah, well, the Blue Star recognition program is a program that Friends of the Mississippi River is developing. It's going to be launched this July. It's a partnership that we have with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. And the way it will work is that cities will go online to a website and answer a series of technical questions about what policies and practices they have adopted to manage urban runoff. And then based on their answers, this tool will assess them, and if they score high enough, they'll qualify to be a Blue Star city. And they will get this seal of approval from the Pollution Control Agency, and they will be able to say to their residents, on their website, they'll be able to crow about it and say, hey, we are going above and beyond the call of duty to be sustainable in the way that we manage our urban runoff. And we think that's good. If cities that excel in urban runoff management deserve the positive public recognition, and so we want to make sure they get it, and we think that will create positive pressure on other cities that maybe haven't taken those steps yet to think about how they can do those things.
Mm-hmm. I want to mention, too, that the Target Corporation has partnered with an agency, the Low Impact Development Center, to develop some principles for helping big box retailers, the Targets and the Walmarts and the Sams and the Ikeas and those kinds of large big box retailers that end up with a tremendous amount of paved area all around them for parking. And, of course, you got to have it, because where are you going to put the cars when it's 2 days before Christmas and you've got 9 million people that want to shop? But still, there are some principles that have been developed. Can you speak to those briefly?
Yeah, I mean, the way we used to develop parking lots is that we'd grade them and pave them, and there'd be a pipe at the end and a storm sewer, and that, you know, everything that lands on that huge parking lot would run into a pipe and into the local stream or lake or river. And we're now developing parking technologies that allow us to grade them so that they drain into swales. And you'll see these. There's a great one out at the Landscape Arboretum that's been developed to demonstrate this technology. But you're starting to see them all over, where instead of there being a curb at the edge of the parking lot, it's a smooth grade down into a vegetated little filter area. It might look like in wet weather, it might look like a little wetland. In dry weather, it might look like just a bunch of plants.
It all comes back around to being able to filter the runoff and slow it down, and so that a lot of those metals and other kinds of chemicals we talked about don't hit our water table quite as fast, or if at all.
That's right.
Well, Whitney, thank you so much for being with me today on the show.
My pleasure.
Executive Director of the Friends of the Mississippi River. Go to the website, look them up, get involved, take the Mississippi River Challenge, which is in a couple of weeks. And Whitney, thanks for your help, and we'll be right back.
I'm Colleen Buckman.
And I'm Susan Shahada with Raising the Consciousness, Simple Solutions for Conscious Living. Join us every Sunday at 1 p.m. to discuss the mind-body-spirit connection, the artist's voice as a path to change, and the important spaces in our lives.
Raising the Consciousness, Sundays at 1 p.m. Brought to you by Sacred Rearrangement Shop and Healing Center in Uptown Minneapolis and Fairtrade Ohm, a conscious philanthropic production company. Online at raisingtheconsciousness.com.
It's spring, and at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, it's time for our annual spring cleaning and maintenance special. Every stove and fireplace needs regular service. And right now, if you call Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces at 612-338-6606, you'll save $30 on award-winning professional service. Or do it yourself. At Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have chimney brushes, cleaners, and all the know-how to get you started. At Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, you'll find the Twin Cities' most diverse selection of wood, gas, and electric stoves and fireplaces. Ask about the $1,500 tax credit available on high-efficiency wood-burning stoves and fireplaces. Woodland has the knowledgeable staff that will help you choose what's right for your home. Over 30 working units on display at 2901 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Online at woodlandstoves.com or call at 612-338-6606. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, installing and servicing fireplace products for over 30 years.
Hi, Nancy Nelson here, inviting you to join me every Saturday, noon to 1 o'clock, for my show, Nancy Nelson Make a Difference. At my stores, Our Little Secret, designer accessories at wholesale prices, we have an opportunity for you to make money without investing a thing. Have your own Our Little Secret home jewelry party. The same amazing wholesale prices as in our stores, and at the end of the party, you have a percentage of everything sold. Go to our website, OurLittleSecret.tv, OurLittleSecret.tv for details.
Now through May 15th, Edina Bike and Sport is helping you save during the Schwinn sale with 10% off select 2010 models. Lose the rat race and join the human race at Edina Bike and Sport's Schwinn sale ending May 15th, so you'd better hurry. And just for Mother's Day, any bike purchased for mom before May 11th comes with a free Mother's Day gift.
Edina Bike and Sport, the biggest little bike shop in town.
Just north of the crosstown at Wooddale and Valley View Road. Socially responsible investing is supported by Calvert Investments, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Online at calvert.com.
More than music, the Electric Fetus is the place to find thousands of great gifts, including unique clothing, hats, jewelry, bath products, and kids' toys, plus books. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
Welcome back to the Socially Responsible Investing Show. I'm your host, Mike Mullins. I am a financial consultant with RBC Wealth Management in Minneapolis. My website is michaelwmullins.com. That's Michael, WMULLINS.com. My phone number is 612-371-7859. Again, 612-371-7859. Excuse me. When you go to the website, there's a couple things I want to direct you to. One is I have a personal video right at the top of my homepage, who is Mike Mullins and how do I meet him. I prepared this personal video, which is 137 seconds long, to make it a little bit more convenient for those of you who surf to be able to get an introduction to me without it being a large issue. The second link is called Mike is Live on AM 950 Radio Saturdays 10 to 11 a.m. If you click on that link, it will take you to an AM 950 page that has a listing of all of the shows that I've done starting from March 6th, a little brief description of what the show was about and who the interview was with. You can grab these and listen to them. And just like if you're using your DVR at home, you can speed through the commercials and get to the text, fast forward, whatever you want to do. And I'd appreciate it if you'd have a look at that. The show next week is going to be the Results Show 2. What I'm trying to do here is have 4 weeks of topical shows and then have a sort of a summary or a review show. And in the summary and review show, it gives me a chance to focus a bit more on the investment opportunities, because after all, this is a show about investments. And I need to let people know that I cannot mention a particular investment, the name of an exchange-traded fund or the name of a stock or the name of a mutual fund, because by FINRA regulation, that puts us in a bind as if we're giving investment recommendations to people when we haven't qualified the people. And that's a huge deal in our industry, is to make sure that any recommendation we give is suitable for the individual. So if you have an interest in talking about the investments that I allude to on the show, you can find me at Dun Brothers over by the library between 12 and 1 today and every Saturday. And I would love to have a chance to meet with you, would have a chance to have a casual conversation, find out how I can serve you and be of help to you. And then I can talk about specific recommendations, even though I may not have fully qualified a person. At least I can tell you in person what those investments are. You know, this thing about water and investing in water is kind of tricky, because it seems like, how can I invest in something that benefits the Friends of the Mississippi River or any of the other three dozen entities? They're not really directly investable. There are kinds of companies that serve the water industry, the municipal water system, such as companies that make pumps, companies that make meters, companies that supply the pipes. We have a huge, huge, huge infrastructure problem in this country, and it's across the board. Everything you can think of that serves our society, from power plants and electricity to water treatment plants to sewer treatment plants to just muni water plants, just everything you can think of, these are related to infrastructure issues. How do you invest directly in infrastructure? A couple of different ways. You can invest in companies that make the industrial components. You can invest in companies that provide the software to run these various systems. And anybody that's looked at the complicated software systems needed to run everything tells you that there's a lot of specialization that goes on here. And there are companies that specifically make that kind of software. There are a number of utilities who have a major concern for water. Now, I do need to tell you that the vast majority of municipal water systems in the United States, around 90%, are owned by the municipalities themselves. They're publicly owned in that regard, but you can't invest in them. However, when it comes to infrastructure replacement, yes, you can invest in that through a program called Build America Bonds. Now, we haven't talked much about fixed income on this show. Actually, we haven't talked about it at all, except in broad asset allocation terms. But Build America Bonds were created last year by the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. And creating conditions for an economic recovery requires addressing the challenges facing state and local governments in the midst of the current economic climate. Budgets are being cut, scaled back, government jobs are going away. A lot of services being curtailed. We're certainly dealing with that with our current administration in St. Paul. These cuts contribute to a deeper recession while restricting access to services at a time when the need for them is greatest, and turning things around requires innovative thinking. Last April, the Treasury announced a new program is called the Build America Bond Program. And this provides much-needed funding for state and local governments at lower borrowing costs. This will enable them to pursue necessary capital projects such as work on public buildings, courthouses, schools, roads, transportation infrastructure, government hospitals, public safety facilities and equipment, water and sewer projects, environmental projects, energy projects, government housing projects, and public utilities. Traditionally, tax-exempt bonds provide a critical source of capital, municipal bonds, for state and local governments, but the recession sharply reduced their ability to finance these new projects. Supplementing this existing market, the Build America Bond Program is designed to provide a federal subsidy for a larger portion of the borrowing costs of state and local governments than traditional tax-exempt bonds in order to stimulate the economy and encourage investments in capital projects in 2009 and 2010. These are a new financing tool for state and local governments. They allow a new direct federal payment subsidy. They're taxable by the time they're issued. They're issued by state and local governments that will give them access to the conventional corporate debt markets. At the election of the state and local governments, the Treasury Department will make a direct payment to the state or local government issuer in an amount equal to 35% of the interest payment on the Build America bonds. As a result of this federal subsidy payment, state and local governments will have lower net borrowing costs and be able to reach more sources of borrowing than more traditional tax-exempt or tax credit bonds. I know that's a lot of verbiage, but for those of you who are fixed income investors or bond investors, you know what I mean. These are called Build America bonds. There are several ways you can buy them. This is a great way. If you think it's valuable to rebuild infrastructure in this country and you want to be involved in that, Build America bonds and investing in Build America bonds is a way to do that. Now, this is not a recommendation that you or anybody else should invest in these. I'm reading you some material off of a government website. But Build America bonds are available in a variety of ways, including in a packaged product format. I can't say anything more about it, but I want to tell you about it if you'll come over to Dun Brothers between 12 and 1 today or call me at 612-371-7859. Now, next week, we're going to have the results show two. Now, if you remember on my website, you can click over to the AM 950 site that shows my show, a listing of the shows from the past. The past four shows, which will include today's show, will be reviewed. I'll be talking about specific investment opportunities without mentioning their names. And I'll look forward to seeing you next week. Excuse me. I'll look forward to seeing you today between 12 and 1 at Dun Brothers, and having this conversation again with you next week. It'll be the results show where we'll summarize where we've been the past 4 weeks, including today, including investment recommendations. Thanks for listening. I'm Mike Mullins, RBC Wealth Management Financial Consultant and the host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show right here on AM 950, The Voice of Minnesota.
Spring is here, and that means spring cleaning. But what about your carpet and upholstery? If you haven't tried Zero Res Carpet Care yet, you need to call now. Zero Res cleans with empowered water, leaving no harsh chemical residues behind. Call now for three rooms pre-treated, clean.